God, give him, forgive him and give him repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, as I speak. But he's taking you to hell. And I mean, I don't mean he's going to be torturing you forever, thank God. But I just mean you're going to die, and then you're going to die again. And that time, the second death is going to be permanent. Lights out forevermore. So let's be honest with ourselves here. The apostles taught we need to abstain. You know, when you teach your children abstinence education, do you say to them, well, you're probably going to have sex anyways, so here's a condom? Do you realize that your faith in Jesus is like condom Jesus? You know? His blood is like a rubber over your phallus. I know you're going to go fornicate and commit sin. Lust, you know? You're going to overeat. You're going to do all kinds of sinful things, you know? Oh, you're not going to be any really grievous sins. But, you know, we hope, right? You know, we're not going to be homosexuals, God forbid. Or we're not going to be drunkards, God forbid. Or drug users, God forbid. But, you know, we'll do our little sins on the side, you know? Let's not talk about it. We know we have them, you know? Even pastors. Well, Jesus' blood, this is how it works, you see. Jesus' blood covers you. So it's like a rubber on your penis. See? And when you go out and have sex with the devil, when you go out and sin, because sin is like sex with Satan, Jesus is there as like the barrier between you and Satan. So you don't get him, or actually really Satan is having sex with you. So let's just put it, you put Jesus' rubber maybe on Satan. So that, oh, whatever. Maybe it's like the female. Well, anyways, he's there as a barrier to prevent the seed of Satan from getting in you and from killing you. I speak as a fool. But that is the gospel that is preached out there. When they say the righteousness of Christ is only imputed, it's just a rubber. You don't have to abstain from fleshly lusts. No, don't abstain. Just put on the rubber. Put on Jesus. And go forth and sin a little more. He'll forgive you. Now, they don't say that, but their doctrine makes room for it. They don't say go and sin, but they say you'll never be perfect. You're going to sin. I even sin. Oh, Lord knows I sin every day. It's like saying, again, you tell your children to abstain. Do you say, well, I know you're going to have sex anyway, so take a condom? That's how you treat Jesus. You treat him like a rubber. You strap him on, sin, and throw him away. That's how you treat your Lord. Except you don't, it's just in your mind. You know why? Because when you're like that, he's not your Lord. And you know what? He isn't your rubber. He's not protecting you. He won't protect you. His blood will not cover that part. Do you understand me? You are unprotected. You go out and commit sin. Paul says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you do that, you're going to be disinherited from the kingdom. Not that you were ever an heir. If you find yourself, look at, no one's going to fail of the salvation of God who Christ has foreknown. Thank God. If God loves you, because he doesn't love everybody, how could you say God loves everybody? He appoints some people to be disobedient. He appoints some to destruction. It's not very loving of God to appoint someone to be a vessel of wrath. So, those who he loves, though, he saves. If it is in your power to save someone who you love and they're about to die, if it's in your power and you love them, you do it. Even our laws, if someone is about to kill themselves, they try to stop them, right? You try to stop someone who's going to kill themselves. You don't help them along their way. So God, if he loves us, he will save us with an everlasting salvation, which is a salvation that is sure. But it's sure in him. See, we don't know. We don't have this knowledge. That's why we hear things like, be diligent, make your calling and election sure, fear. Because God wants us to be exercised in all these things. He doesn't want us to, look at, you know, people say, well, Paul, what do you say? We're robots? We're what? Well, look at, we're not on a train track, okay? Though I've used that analogy for sin. It takes you on this, though actually there's a train out there, which is the second death, and you're on a path that's going to collide with it. Okay, whatever. But what I'm saying is, we are not like, we're on the set path, meaning if we're going one way, we got to stay on that way. Meaning in the sense of like, this is how I am now, and I'm going to stay this way because this is the way God meant me to be. It's like maybe God meant you to be that way now. Maybe he meant for you to change. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, those fatalists who think destiny means just you stay where you are, you know, kind of like the caste system or something, they would say, hey, you know, Paul wanted to persecute the Jews. That's the thing he wanted. So that was his destiny. And they would say, why do you even try to stop the guy? There's a couple reasons, of course. One, it's right. God has appointed us to preach the gospel to every creature. You don't know what God's work is going to be in that person. He may turn that person. Again, we don't have this fatalistic sort of attitude. And that's usually a manifestation of a bad attitude and of disbelief, because that's what always comes to me. It's like, Paul, if it's all predestinated, why are you even trying to convince me? Why are you even trying? And it's like, why even try? It's like, because that's what God has appointed us to do. Look, if you can't receive it, if that's your attitude, please just stop listening, because I don't even want to speak to you. Because I can't instruct you. I can't. Unless perchance God would give you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, then I can help you. So I'm just, if you'd bear with me a little in my folly, maybe you'd hear something that would spark some change of heart. But look at the word. Is what I say not true? These are the words of the apostles. These are the words that I preach and that I teach. Okay, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be